We're carrying on with Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. We have been challenged from this part of Jesus' sermon as to why do you do what you are doing? We're picking up now from Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start reading from verse 5. And Jesus said, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Jesus had many things to say about prayer. And I'm going to look at three questions that come out of this passage that we have just read together. And then next week, we'll look at the pattern for prayer that Jesus then gave to his disciples. So first of all, why pray? Jesus said in verse 5, "And when you pray." And in verse 6, "But when you pray." And in verse 7, "And when you pray." You know, Jesus did not say, "if you pray," or "if you should happen to pray," but "when you pray." Now, I pointed out a similar thing like this last week when we talked about giving. And Jesus did not say, "if you give," but "when you give." Now, this is the same thing concerning prayer, when you pray. The assumption is, praying is a normal activity in your life. But what actually is prayer? Why pray? There are many aspects to prayer, which I'm not going to be talking about today, but prayer in its very basic and most simple form is the talking part of our relationship with God. Meaningful relationships do not exist without communication of some sort. You know, when governments break down in their governance, it's usually because they've lost touch with the people that they're governing. And the cry becomes, "You are not listening to us." Or in industry, and when industry and unions are in conflict, the cry becomes, "Let's negotiate, let's communicate, let's talk." You know, in marriage, when marriages run into trouble, somewhere along the way, you'll find they have stopped communicating. And when the Christian life becomes dry and ineffective, and God seems to be distant, like nowhere around, there's a very good chance that it's because communication has broken down and there is no prayer. If you don't spend time talking to God in prayer, it will not be a mysterious thing as to why your Christian life has become dry and uneventful. You know, for many Christians, the routine is they get up in the morning, and somewhere along the way, they say a quick prayer to God. "Good morning, God. Give me a good day and bless all that I do. Amen." And then they're off with a full and busy day, and before you know it, it's late at night and bedtime, and you're tired, and they give another quick prayer. "Oh, thank you, God, for watching over me today and giving me a good day and give me a good night's sleep. And, oh, yeah, the missionaries. Oh, bless all the missionaries around the world. And, oh, save this world from the coronavirus. And, oh, Granny's bad hip. Help Granny with her bad hip. Give me a good night's sleep. Amen." You know, it takes about 30 seconds a day. That includes both prayer times. And then people wonder what in the world is wrong with their Christian life. Relationships need communication, and prayer is the talking part of our relationship with God. Now, this is not time spent on our knees praying to God. Prayer is so much bigger than that. It encompasses our whole life. So let me ask, how is your ongoing conscious communion and communication with God? Do you have that place in your life where you are in constant communion and communication with God? You know, we read a number of times in the book of Acts, it was when people were praying that God spoke to them. I won't go through all those times, but let me just give you a few examples. In Acts chapter 9, we read, starting in verse 10, in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. And the Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. You know, here we see where God spoke to Saul while he was praying. Now, we're not told if Ananias was praying, but the assumption would be that Ananias was praying, and as he was praying, he had a vision from the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him. Then in Acts chapter 13, we have the church in Antioch. They were worshiping the Lord and fasting, and the Holy Spirit said to them in verse 2, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. It says they were worshiping and fasting, it says, and with fasting went prayer. They were praying and fasting. And you know, on it goes through the book of Acts. If God never speaks to you, is it because you never talk to him? And you've never learned to hear and recognize the voice of God in your life? Now, God speaks to us all differently, which is why we cannot just copy what someone else does. You have got to meet with God alone and find out for yourself his interaction in your life. E.M. Bounds wrote a book called Power Through Prayer, and he writes, the church is always looking for better methods, but God is looking for better people. The Holy Spirit does not flow through methods. He does not anoint machinery. The Holy Spirit flows through people. He anoints people. He empowers people. You might ask, well, what kind of people? Ordinary people who live in communion and communication with God and who know him and are in relationship with him. So why do we pray? It is because prayer is the talking part of our relationship with God. And the most important thing about our Christian life is our communion with God and our love for God and our worship of God and our reception to the things which God pours into our lives through our relationship with him. Now, the second question that arises is, why pray privately? In verse 6, we read, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Jesus is not saying that the only valid prayer is prayer that is done in private, in secret. Because elsewhere in the New Testament, corporate prayer is talked about. Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 says, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. You know, that's two people together praying together. After Jesus' ascension, when the 11 disciples returned to Jerusalem, we read in Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. That was quite a group of people all praying together. And then in Acts chapter 4 and verse 23, it talks about how the church raised their voices together in prayer to God. Verse 23, it says, and on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. And now there's plenty more examples of corporate prayer in the scriptures. These are just a few. Corporate prayer has its place and its importance. So why then does Jesus say here, we're to close the door and pray in secret to our Father who is unseen? Well, we've got to remember in the context of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking about people who are standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, and they're there to be seen by other people. Jesus is talking about the hypocrisy of people praying to impress other people, and they're not communicating with God. They're just wanting to impress other people. It's about impressing people with their doctrinal knowledge and their eloquent use of words and getting the approval and the respect of others. And in this context, Jesus says, don't be like these hypocrites who love to pray in synagogues and where everybody can hear them and see them, and they just think they're so wonderful. The real test of your prayer life, Jesus says, is the praying that goes on in secret in your life. So if the stimulus to pray publicly is because it's public, and it's because there are other people who are listening, if that's the stimulus for your praying, in all likelihood, it's just a performance. Jesus is saying here, if you're going to pray, it is to flow out of that secret intimacy that you have with God. So why do we pray? Well, it's the talking part of our relationship with God. Why do we pray in secret? Because that is where you meet with God and you are the most real. And that doesn't happen in public. It is in private, where there's no showmanship or performance. It is just you and God. Now, the third question is, why can we pray confidently? In verse 7, Jesus said, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. You know, this actually raises more questions. If your Father knows what you need before you ask him, why do you need to ask him? You know, if God knows everything there is to know, and he does, what then is the point of me taking time telling God things he already knows? You know I will never pray and say, God, I want to pray for old Joe who has just suffered a heart attack and is in the hospital. And God listens to my prayer and says, old Joe, that's where he went. He's in the hospital. I've been looking all over for him. I'm so glad you told me. I had no idea where he'd gone. I know that will never happen. So why spend time telling God things he already knows? If God is sovereign, and he is, if God has plans, and he does, if God's plans are good, and they are, what is the point of me coming to God saying, God, I want to pray that you'll do this and this and that and a little more of this and a little more of that. And God listens to my prayer and says, wow, what a fantastic idea. Did you angels just hear what that guy down on earth just said and prayed? How come you never thought of that? God might say, I think that's brilliant. If you hadn't prayed, we would never have thought of that. You know, I know that will never happen. So why spend time talking to God about things that he already knows? Why don't we just pray, God, your will be done, amen, and we get on with life? Yet clearly, the scriptures teach us that is not enough. So why do we need to pray? And as Jesus said in verse 8, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. If God knows what you need before you ask him, when you talk to God, who is it that's going to have something important to say? Well, the one who knows what you need. Prayer is not about getting God onto your agenda. Prayer is the means of bringing ourselves onto God's agenda. Prayer is not getting God to do what I want or what you want. Prayer is my allowing God to bring me into the place and position that He wants, because He knows what I need. So why pray? Because there is a disconnect between what God knows that you need to know and that you're asking for. Where is the adjustment going to have to take place if there's that disconnect? Well, the adjustment is going to have to take place with us, becoming conformed to God's purpose and His intention. You know, Oswald Chambers, he put it this way: I tell God what He knows in order that I might get to know it in the way that He knows it. So when I talk to God about situations, my expectancy is not, God, here I'm telling you exactly what to do, now you go and do it. But rather, when I bring a situation to God, if there needs to be an adjustment, it is going to be on my part as I begin to know it as God knows it. And our prayers are then more than just being a shopping list. There will then be time taken to listen and just spend time with God, being with Him and listening to Him. You see, God works in us to will and to act according to His good purpose. And part of the work of God in us is to bring our will and our mind into conformity with His purposes. So when we pray in the name of Jesus, which is how we're told to pray, what that is saying is, this is the mind and the will of Jesus Christ. This originates in Jesus. It is for the purposes of the Lord Jesus, and it can only be done by Jesus. So to put Jesus' name on your own agenda is actually to take the name of the Lord in vain. Ouch. One of the Ten Commandments is that God gave to Moses is, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And that commandment is often broken when we pray with our own agendas and then we pray it in Jesus' name, thinking that this is some kind of magic formula that will move God to do what I want God to do. It simply means I'm coming under the authority of Jesus, and what I'm asking for originates in God. It is for God. It can be only accomplished by God. So why do we pray? It is the talking part of our relationship with God. Relationships grow and thrive in communion and intimacy and time together. Why pray privately? Because this is where we are most real. It will be in the secret place where we discover who we really are and who God is. Oh, in public, we can put on a show and we can put on a religious performance, but alone, we will say what's on our heart, and it is there we will learn to build that relationship with God. And why can we pray confidently? Because if you abide in Jesus, you are operating in His name, and you know that He is going to answer. And this is why praying is not just saying prayers. It is a disposition of intimacy with Jesus. It's praying all the time. It is praying without ceasing. It's praying out of a love for Jesus and a trust in Him and a dependence upon Him and obedience to Him. You know, once again, we are challenged from the Word of God. Is there that special secret place in your life that belongs to nobody else but you and Jesus alone? Are you spending time there? Because you cannot grow in your Christian life without it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to live out our lives from that quiet place where we talk and listen to You about everything. That special place where it is just You and me alone. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.